This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihil kareem. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri, wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Allahumma hdi qalbi wa saddid lisani. وَاسْلُلْ سَخِيمَةَ قَلْبِي آمين يا رب العالمين. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد. Allah is the greatest. Allah is the greatest. There is no God worthy of worship but Allah. Allah is the greatest. Allah is the greatest. And for Allah is due all praise. In these days of Dhul Hijjah, we all know that we should increase in our takbir, in tahleel, in tahmeed, in saying Allahu Akbar, in saying La ilaha illallah, and in saying Alhamdulillah. We know that these are the best days of the year, the best days of worldly life, in fact. And if we do any good deed, it is more virtuous near Allah, it is more beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal. And we need to remember this whenever we feel a little lazy, that a deed performed in these days is more beloved to Allah. If I recite this portion of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love that. If I perform this nafil prayer, voluntary prayer in the morning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love that. If I give this sadaqah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love that. So let our motivation be أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ, that deeds performed in these days are more beloved to Allah. Because we all want to be of those people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. We love Allah and we want to win the love of Allah in return as well. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful to all of His creation. But there are those special slaves of Allah whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually loves. He loves them and they love Him. So we want to be among those special people, those special slaves of Allah. And in order to do that, we need to do something right now in these days. So let us strive in doing good deeds. But one thing, one challenge that we face in these days is that, you know, in the month of Ramadan, we learn that the shayateen are locked up, right? But in these days, we don't learn that shayateen are locked up. So yes, we have to, strive against our own selves, right? There is that laziness within us. And of course, there is, you know, work, there are distractions, there are obligations. But at the same time, there is also the influence of shaitan. So remember that, you know, if a deed performed in these days is more beloved to Allah, it is more rewardable, then shaitan is not going to, you know, slow down at this time. Shaitan is going to strive hard in order to distract us, in order to make us lazy, in order to put waswasa in our minds. So one of the things that we should make sure we do these days is to seek refuge with Allah against the shaitan. We need to make sure that in the morning and in the evening, we are reciting our adhkar, our morning and evening adhkar, so that we are protected against the shaitan. And especially what is very helpful is, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam advised us, that we should recite قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ after every salah. Yani, this is something that we should do anyway. But these days, especially pay attention to this, that after every salah, make sure you recite قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Because these surahs, they are a source of protection for us against against our enemy, against the shaitan. And we learned that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given these surahs, then he would recite these surahs for his protection as well. So imagine if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited these surahs, then how much more we are in need of reciting these surahs for our protection. And you will also feel that when you take that precaution, you recite your adhkar in the morning after every salah, you are fortifying yourself, then it will be easier for you to busy yourself in good deeds. It will be easier for you to, you know, recite the takbirat, to engage in the dhikr of Allah, to keep your tongue busy with the dhikr of Allah, and to keep yourself occupied with good and righteous actions, inshaAllah. So let us begin today's session. Today's session is about the best of faith, or rather that the best deed is to have faith. In this series, as you know, we are learning about the best of the best, or the best deeds. And when we look at the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us about many deeds which are the best. So let us begin with the deed which is really the most important, the deed which is the condition for the acceptance of a person's deeds, and the deed which is the key to paradise. And this is to have faith. It is to believe in Allah and His Messenger. So in the series of the best, we are learning about the best of faith today, inshallah. And we'll be looking at five things, five main points, five main themes. And for each theme, inshallah, we'll be looking at a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first hadith that we will be looking at is a hadith that tells us that the best deed is to have faith. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked that ayyul amali afdal, which deed is the best. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, it is imanum billahi wa rasulihi. It is to believe in Allah and His Messenger. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was then asked that then what? Then what is the next good deed, which is best? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, al-jihadu fi sabilillah, to strive in the cause of Allah. And then he was asked, which is the next best deed? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, Hajj mabrur, a hajj which is accepted, a hajj that is filled with righteous actions. The second hadith that we will be looking at is about the fact that faith should be free of any doubt, meaning it is not enough to just say that we believe. It is essential that our belief is free of any doubt. We learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked that ayyul a'mali afdal, which of the deeds is best, meaning which deed is the best. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, imanun la shakka fihi. It is such iman, such faith that has no doubt in it whatsoever. The third concept, or the third hadith that we'll be looking at, is that the best branch of faith is to say La ilaha illallah. Because you see, iman is not just to hold a certain belief in one's heart. Iman is something that is to be expressed verbally and also through our actions. So we learn in a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that iman, faith, has over 70 branches or over 60 branches, meaning the manifestation of iman is in many different ways. And he said the most excellent of which is the declaration that there is no God but Allah. Yani, the best expression of Iman, the best branch of Iman, is to say verbally, La ilaha illallah. And the humblest of which is the removal of what is injurious from the path. Meaning, this is also from Iman, that a person finds something along the road which is harmful for people, so he picks that up and he brings ease to people. And then the Prophet ﷺ said that haya, modesty, is also a branch of faith. The fourth thing that we will be looking at is that patience and generosity are the best aspect of Iman. The Prophet ﷺ said that the best of Iman, afdalul Iman, the best of Iman is patience and generosity. And inshallah, we will look at how patience and generosity are connected with faith. And finally, we will be looking at the hadith which tells us that the best of faith is good character. The Prophet ﷺ was asked that ayyul imani afdal, which aspect of Iman is the best? And the Prophet ﷺ replied that it is good character. So all of these ahadith, they tell us something that is related to Iman. But what is common in all of these ahadith is the fact that the best deed is to have faith. It is to believe in Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then after that, striving in the way of Allah. And then after that, Hajj Mabrur. So let us begin with the first hadith. First of all, we see that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is asked, Ayyul amali afdal, which deed is the best? And in all of the ahadith that I shared with you today, you can see this common theme, you know, people asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which deed is the best? And there are, in fact, many other ahadith in which we see that somebody is coming to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they're asking him that which deed is the best. Yani, the Sahaba, the companions, were eager to know what the best deeds were, because they recognize that it is not enough to just do a lot, because there is much to do. Yani, we could spend our entire lives performing sajda, and that would not be enough. It would not be enough, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves even more. And given how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us and how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown favor to us, what befits us is that we are constantly engaged in servitude and in worship. So, and we learn that even the angels, when they will see the scales on the day of judgment, they will say that we have not worshipped you the way that you deserve to be worshipped, Ya Rab. And these are angels that are, you know, constantly in obedience to Allah, constantly in servitude to Allah, showing humility to Allah. They are constantly engaged in the glorification of Allah. So the fact is that no matter how much we do, it is not enough. So we need to learn about those deeds which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, which are more virtuous in the sight of Allah. And of these deeds is first and foremost to believe in Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Hadid, ayah number 21, that سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That all of you rush to, you should compete towards, you should go towards forgiveness of your Lord and a garden whose width is like the width of the sky and the earth. But this forgiveness, this garden, this Jannah, this paradise, it is for who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us it has been prepared for those people who believe in Allah and His Messengers. It is not for everyone. It is only for those people who believe in Allah and His Messengers. So this shows us how important it is to believe in Allah. And we also learn in Surah Yunus, ayah 62 to 64, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. That unquestionably, the friends of Allah, no fear will be on them and they shall not grieve. Who are these friends of Allah? They are الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They are those people who believe وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. And they have been conscious of Allah. They have regard for Allah. They're aware that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. So they are conscious of Allah. So for them is good news in worldly life and also in the hereafter. لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. They have good news of forgiveness. They have good news of reward. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them. In Surah An-Nahl, ayah 97, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. That whoever does righteous action, whether male or female, gender doesn't matter. The point is that they do righteous action. But there is one condition. The condition is what? وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. While they're a believer, meaning a person must be a believer while performing righteous action, then such a person, فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. We shall indeed give them a good life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises a good life to a person who does righteous action while being a believer. وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And we shall indeed reward them with the best of what they used to do. Meaning their reward in the hereafter will be according to the best of their actions. Because, you know, people, they're such that all of their actions are not the best, right? There are some actions which are best, and a majority of our actions are not such that they can be put in the category of best or that they can be described as best. So the reward in the hereafter will be determined by what? The best of their actions. So this is the benefit of believing in Allah and His messengers. A life in this world which is good, and a reward in the hereafter which is eternal and excellent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Nisa, verse 174 and 175, that يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بُرْهَانٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ نُورًا مُّبِينًا. That, O mankind, there has indeed come to you a conclusive proof from your Lord, and we have sent down to you a clear light. Meaning the Quran has come to you, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam has come to you, the evidence is clear. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ. So as for those people who believe in Allah, وَاعْتَصَمُوا بِهِ, and they hold on to Allah. They hold on to Allah, meaning that that belief is manifested in their life. That belief guides their life. They hold on to Allah in every aspect of their lives. فَسَيُدْخِلُهُمْ فِي رَحْمَةٍ مِّنْهُ. So then Allah shall admit them into mercy from Himself. وَفَضْلُ, and also huge favor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them. وَيَهْدِيهِمْ إِلَيْهِ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. And He will guide them to Him on a path that is straight. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide those people who believe. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bestow His special mercy and favor upon such people. Which people? Those people who believe in Allah, in His messengers, in His revelation, in His books, and everything else that we are supposed to believe in. Now, in another hadith, which is similar to the hadith that we are studying right now, we learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked that which deed is the best, and he replied, "Imanum billahi wahdahu," to believe in Allah alone, meaning to believe that Allah alone is the only God, Allah alone is the only Lord, Allah alone is the only one worthy of worship. In another hadith, we learn the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked that which deed is the most beloved to Allah, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "Al-Iman billah," to believe in Allah. So to believe in Allah, this is a deed, this is an action, it is a way of life, and it is a deed which is more superior to any other deed. It is a deed which is more beloved to Allah than any other deed. And it is a deed which is better than any other deed, because it is the foundation, it is the basis for all other good deeds. Now, the question is, what does it mean to believe in Allah? Yani, if you ask any Muslim, you know, what's your belief? They will say, I believe in Allah, right? If you were to explain what Islam is to anyone, you would begin with the basic foundation, which is to believe in Allah. Well, what does it mean to believe in Allah? You see, iman, linguistically, is to confirm and acknowledge something, to confirm that something is true, and to acknowledge it, to accept it, to say that, yes, I accept this fact. And when we're talking about iman, when we're talking about faith, it is to confirm a certain belief in one's heart. So, for example, we believe that Allah is the God, right? Allah alone is worthy of worship. So what does it mean to believe in that? It means that you hold that belief in your heart. You confirm that belief in your heart. And then that you acknowledge it with your tongue. You also verbally express it. And then you also confirm that belief with your actions. So iman is not just the state of your heart. It is not just something that is, you know, that exists somewhere in your mind, in your heart, you know, in your memory, or in the information that you have, gathered in your mind. No, iman, yes, it is in the heart. It is rooted in the heart, but it is actually manifested. It is manifested through one's words and also through one's actions, through one's life choices. It is a way of understanding. It is a mindset. It is something that guides your thinking, your thought process. It is something that impacts the way that you respond to different situations in your life, and it impacts the choices that you make in your life as well, the big and the small choices. So iman is something that becomes a part of a person's being, a part of a person's existence. It's not just something that we accept cognitively, right? That, okay, God is one. I believe in that. And that's it. No, this is something that affects your behavior. It affects your choices. It affects your thinking. It affects your entire being. This is the reality of iman. And you see, in the Quran, when we look at different verses that talk about iman, we learn, for example, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah number 83, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَى أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ. That when they hear what has been revealed to the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning certain people, when they hear the Quran, you see their eyes overflowing with tears. You see that they begin to cry. Why are they crying? Mimma arafu min al-haq. Because of what they have recognized of the truth. So iman is to recognize. It is to understand and fully grasp something. يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا. They say, our Lord, we have believed. So to believe is to know something. It is to recognize something. It is to wholeheartedly accept something so that it becomes a part of your life and it affects your responses. So what is the response over here? When iman entered the heart, then the eyes began to flow with tears. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told us that man mata وَهُوَ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. That whoever dies while he knows that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, then that person will enter paradise. He didn't say over here that he believes. He used the word ilm, to know, to have knowledge. Because to believe is to know. And how is it that you know that Allah is one? You learn that through life. You learn that through experience. You learn that through difficulties that you face in your life. You learn that through loss. You learn that through progress, through blessings, through different things that you experience in life. You learn that yes, there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. How? That when, for example, you are experiencing situations where you feel a complete loss of control, that you have no control over, you know, what you can do. You have no control over people's opinions, people's thoughts, what people are doing, what people are saying, what people are, you know, plotting amongst themselves. You have no control over the result of your effort. You have no control over, over your life, essentially, right? And the more challenges you face in your life, you experience this. What do you realize? What knowledge do you become aware of? That Allah is the one who is in control. Allah is the one who is able to do all things. I am not. Allah is the one who is perfect. In your life, when you experience heartbreak, right? And when you, when you experience rejection, and when you experience how, no matter what you do, certain people are never satisfied. Certain people never feel gratitude. They never acknowledge your effort, right? You come to realize that Allah is truly the most merciful. Allah is truly the most appreciative. Allah is truly, the one who knows everything. So your life teaches you that Allah alone is the only God worthy of worship. And faith, this iman, needs to be held firm in the heart. So the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever dies while he knows that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, then that person will enter paradise. And you see, especially when a person claims to believe in Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will certainly test them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will certainly make them go through different, you know, challenges and different ups and downs in their life. So that that iman, becomes a part of one's understanding. They're able to fully grasp this concept that yes, la ilaha illallah. Another important thing is that iman, faith, includes actions. Any faith is not separate from actions. A person cannot say, I believe in Allah, but when it comes to the things that I do, I decide. It's my choice. No, no, no. When you believe la ilaha illallah, that Allah is the God, I worship Allah, then that means I will do as Allah has commanded me to do. Not what I wish to do, what I want to do, what I think, or what society says, or what is, you know, mainstream, or what is, trendy. No, believing in la ilaha illallah means that you do things in your life the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded. We learn in a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked the companions once, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would also, you know, question them to make them think, and then he would give them the answer. So he said, do you know what it means to believe in Allah alone? And the companion said, Allah and His Messenger know best. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it means to testify that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Messenger of Allah, and to establish salah, and to give zakat, and to fast in Ramadan. And he mentioned a few more actions. Now, if you think about it, he didn't stop at testifying that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. Because iman is also actions. Iman includes actions. So he listed salah, zakat, fasting in Ramadan. So this shows us that iman is not just, you know, a way of thinking. It also influences your lifestyle, your life choices, your actions. And we also learn in a narration that Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he wrote to Adi ibn Adi that faith includes obligations, meaning part of iman are actions which are obligatory. Faith includes doctrines, meaning there are certain beliefs that you hold. It includes boundaries, meaning there are certain actions that are forbidden, that you're not allowed to do when you believe. And it includes those actions which are preferred, all right, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes them. And he said that whoever fulfills all of them has perfected his belief, and whoever does not fulfill them has not perfected his belief. So remember that iman is not disconnected from your life choices or your actions. It is deeply connected with that. And when it comes to iman, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the first hadith, we see that it is the best deed, right? This is how he explained it, that it is the best deed. And we all know that iman is the condition for the acceptance of good deeds as well. Meaning if a person comes on the Day of Judgment with iman, then all of their other actions, their good deeds, will also be accepted. But if a person comes on the Day of Judgment without iman, then even if they gave in their life a lot of charity, they were, you know, excellent in their character, they were very kind and forgiving, all of that will not benefit a person on the Day of Judgment if they do not have iman. We learn in Surah Az-Zumar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That certainly it has been revealed to you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it was also revealed to the people before you, and especially to the messengers before you, that if you associate partners with Allah, meaning if there's a problem with iman, then what's going to happen? All of your work will be wasted and you will be of the losers. So iman, faith, is the condition. It is the source of salvation. There is no success, there is no salvation without iman. And we learn that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu to make the announcement that la yadkhulu al-jannata illa al-mu'minun, that none but those who believe will enter paradise. And meaning paradise is reserved for who? For those people who actually believe in Allah, who know Allah, who acknowledge the greatness of Allah, who show your servitude to Allah in their lives. So those who recognize that, those who live like that, then paradise is for them. Allahumma ja'alna min al-mu'mineen. Now, the thing about iman, you see, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained it as the best deed. Now, a person might wonder, but how exactly is it the best deed? Because, you know, there are people who are born in a Muslim family. Islam is all they know. Tawheed is all they know. And you know that, yes, they believe in Allah, okay, but then, you know, people are not perfect. They also do things which are, you know, not the greatest. So how exactly is iman the best deed? The thing is that iman actually has an impact on a person's life. When a person believes correctly, when a person believes honestly, with sincerity, a belief that is certain, a belief that is with knowledge, then this is something that has an impact on a person's entire life. How? That first of all, we learn that such a person is guided by Allah. We learn that وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَهَادِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. That indeed Allah is surely the guide of those people who believe to the straight path. Meaning those people who believe, Allah will surely guide them to the straight path. It doesn't mean that they're perfect in all of their actions. No, they make mistakes. But what happens is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to guide them. As soon as they begin to swerve, as soon as they begin to deflect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides them back to the straight path. And this is in big matters and also in small matters. So for instance, in Surah At-Taghabun, we learn, وَمَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَ. Whoever believes in Allah, Allah guides his heart. You see, there are situations in your life where you are overwhelmed with worry. Okay, you are so anxious, you become so worried at the realization that you have no control over the situation, and you feel helpless. You don't even know how to fix your situation, how to help yourself. You can't figure out how to bring yourself out of that difficulty. And if you begin to think negatively, then the path of despair is very dangerous. But when a person believes in Allah in that time, like Musa alayhi salam did, that kalla inna ma'iya rabbi sayahdini. Musa alayhi salam was in front of the water with Bani Israel, and Fir'aun and his armies were catching up with them. And the Bani Israel, all of them were saying, that's it, we are doomed. Inna lamudrakun. We have been overtaken, we are defeated, this is all over. And Musa alayhi salam said, no way, it's not over. Kalla, because inna ma'iya rabbi, with me is my Lord, he will guide me. Allah will guide me. Look at his faith in Allah, that Allah is not going to abandon us over here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create a way. So what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, throw your stick in the water, and the water parted. And it could have happened that, you know, by the time that Musa alayhi salam arrives at the water, the path is already made. But that was not the case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala let Musa alayhi salam experience that faith in Allah, that feeling of putting your trust in Allah. So we learned that whoever believes in Allah, Allah guides his heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides their heart to be calm in a situation of fear, to have hope in a situation where all options seem useless, or a person cannot find a way, a person does not know what next step they should take. So believing in Allah is a source of strength for you. It is a source of hope for you. It is a source of courage for you. وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِي قَلْبَهُ. We learn that اللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Allah is the friend. Allah is the ally. Allah is the protector of those people who believe. Allah does not leave them. He does not abandon them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them. He guides them. يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. He brings them out of darknesses into light. When they're sad, when they're worried, when they're afraid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings them to a state where they feel hopeful. Yes, they cry. Yes, they feel afraid, but they know that Allah is there. So when they turn to Allah and they pour their heart out before Allah, they affirm their belief in Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows them the way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them contentment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them hope. يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. And then we see that iman doesn't just impact, you know, your relationship with Allah and your relationship, you know, how in general you respond to different situations in life, but it also has an impact on how you deal with people. Iman makes a person more humble and cooperative. Iman makes a person not a pushover, no, not weak, but rather someone who is easy to work with, easy to live with, is a joy to be around, someone who is not difficult for others. So the Prophet ﷺ explained that al-mu'minu kal-jamal al-anif, حيث من قيدا قادا. A believer is like a tethered camel. Wherever it is led, it yields. And this is especially in relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That it is time for salah, okay, get up and pray. It is time for salah, okay, stop your driving, all right, take a break and perform your salah, right? You have to make wudu, okay, roll up the sleeves and wash the arms properly, right? It is time to give zakat, okay, let's sit and calculate and give that money in the way of Allah. So the believer is not stubborn before Allah. The believer is humble before Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ also said that believers are humble and gentle, like the friendly camel, which if led, it yields. If it is driven, it complies. If it is made to kneel and sit on rocky ground, it will kneel down. And the believer is not causing problems or complaining and fussing everywhere, because the believer recognizes that Allahu Akbar, that everything is not in control of people. So the believer, yani because of his iman, he they know how to connect everything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're able to accept different situations, and they're able to respond in the best way. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that the believer loves and is loved. Yani the believer loves other people, and they're also loved in return. Allahu Akbar. Yani iman doesn't make you such that you begin to hate people, you begin to disdain them, and you begin to look down at them, and you only find fault in them. No, iman makes you love people. It makes you want the best for others. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that a believer has been created such that he will be put in many trials. A believer will be put in many trials. And the believer is oft repenting and very forgetful. What does it mean? That the believer makes mistakes, many, many mistakes, over and over again, because he's human, she's human. But whenever they realize they've made a mistake, they turn back to Allah. Oh Allah, forgive me. And yes, the believer is forgetful as well, because he's human. But when he is reminded, he accepts admonition. When he's reminded, when he's made aware that, oh, this was a mistake, this wasn't really the best thing to do, he accepts that admonition. The Prophet ﷺ also said that the believer is not a slanderer, nor does he curse others, nor is he immoral or shameless. Any iman impacts your language as well, the kind of words that you use with other people. And so from all of this discussion, when we recognize that the best deed is to have faith, what should we do? We should work on strengthening our iman. How can we strengthen our iman? By learning about who Allah is, what His names, what His attributes are. By learning what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. By learning the Quran, reflecting on the Quran. By studying the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he really showed us what it means to believe in Allah. Then iman is also strengthened when you spend time looking at, reflecting over the creation of Allah. And of course, remembrance of Allah, calling upon Allah, and recognize and learning about how to practice the religion that Allah has revealed. All of these things strengthen our iman. And we should also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allahumma habbib ilayna al-iman wa zayyinhu fi qulubina wa karrih ilayna al-kufra wal-fusuqa wal-isyan. Ameen. That, O Allah, make us love iman and adorn our hearts with it, and make us dislike disbelief and sin and disobedience. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان وجعلنا هداة مهتدين. O Allah, dress us, beautify us with the beauty of Iman, and make us guides who are upon correct guidance. Make us guides of righteous people. Now, the second hadith that we're looking at today is about the fact that faith, Iman, it should be free of any doubt. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked that ayyul a'mali afdal, which deed is the best? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, imanun la shakka fihi. It is iman in which there is no doubt. So, alhamdulillah, we believe in Allah. Alhamdulillah. But we need to strengthen this faith. We need to strengthen this iman. Our iman should be such that it is with conviction, it is with certainty. Yani, you see, there are things that you are somewhat aware of, and you recognize that, okay, they're important, but you're not too confident. And when you're not too confident about something, then it shows in your choices. So for example, you know that you should not be eating too much sugar, right? Because Yes, sweet things are great. Sugar, natural sugar is great. But, you know, when you're having sugary drinks and sugary treats and things like that all the time, you know that that's not healthy for you. You know that you should not be having a whole tub of ice cream in one or two sittings. You know that you should not be eating a chocolate bar every time you feel bored, right? These are things we know. But if you're not confident, right, that this is destructive for my health, then what's going to happen? There are going to be those times when, you know, you are going to indulge and you're going to go a little too far. So when we lack conviction, that doubt is actually reflected in our choices. It is reflected in our life. So iman is supposed to be such that it should have no doubt whatsoever. It should be an iman with conviction, with certainty. And you see, if you believe that sugar is not good for you, then you're going to adhere to that principle, whether you are cooking something yourself, or you are purchasing groceries, or you are at a party, or you are, you know, at a friend's house, or wherever. When people, especially when it comes to diet, when people, make certain decisions, then they follow very strongly, very consistently, no matter where they are, right? People who go vegan, right, who avoid meat, yani they will not indulge in eating meat anywhere. So it's basically manifested in a person's entire life. It is constant. It's everywhere. So when we believe in Allah without any doubt, then what does that mean? It means that this iman needs to be manifested at home. This iman needs to be manifested at work, online, when we are dealing with people directly, or we are sending emails and things like that. Yani it's supposed to influence your entire life. And if there are gaps, if there's inconsistency, then that shows that there's some problem. Because doubt is contrary to faith. Real believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Hujurat that إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. That indeed the believers are only those people who believe in Allah and His Messenger, and then they do not have any doubt. They don't have any doubt whatsoever. And to have doubt is a characteristic of the hypocrites. It is the characteristic of those who don't believe. So a true believer is someone who does not have any doubt. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said regarding the person who says ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna muhammadar rasulullah, that if a person says this without any doubt about these two statements, then when this person will meet Allah, they will enter Jannah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified غَيْرَ شَاكٍ فِيهِمَا, and he believes in these two principles without any doubt whatsoever. We learned that when a person dies and they're placed in their grave, then two angels come and question that person. Right? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained the state of the believer, that when the believer is made to sit up in his grave, he sits up without any fear or panic. And then he is asked, what was your religion? He says, Islam. He said, then the angels ask him, who is this man that you're supposed to believe in and follow? He said, Muhammad, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He brought us clear signs from Allah and we believed him. The angels ask him, have you seen Allah? He says, no one is able to see Allah. And then a window to hell is opened for him, and he sees hell, parts of it destroying others. And then it is said to him, look at what Allah has saved you from. And then a window to paradise is opened to him, and he looks at its beauty and what is in it. And it is said to him, this is your place. And it is said to him that عَلَى الْيَقِينِ كُنْتَ وَعَلَيْهِ مُتَّ وَعَلَيْهِ تُبْعَثِ, that you had certain faith and you died in that state, and in that state you will be resurrected. In contrast, when a hypocrite is made to sit up in his grave, he sits up with fear and panic. And when he's asked, what religion did you follow? He says, I don't know, I don't know. When he is asked, who is this man? He says, I heard the people saying something and I also said it. And then a window to paradise is open to him and he looks at its beauty and what is in it. And it is said to him, look at what Allah has diverted away from you. This is what you're missing out on. And then a window to hell is open for him and he sees it, parts of it destroying others. And it is said to him, this is your place. And the angels say to him, عَلَى الشَّكِّ كُنْتَ. You were doubtful. وَعَلَيْهِ مُتَّ. In this state you died. وَعَلَيْهِ تُبْعَثِ. And in this state you will be resurrected. So when a person lives with yaqeen and dies with that yaqeen, then on the day of judgment, they will come to Allah with yaqeen, with conviction, with certainty. And if a person has doubt and lives with that doubt and dies with that doubt, then that is the state that they will come to Allah with. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Now, to believe without any doubt means that you have full faith in Allah. You have full confidence in Allah. Like Musa alayhi salam, Inna ma'ya rabbi sayahdeen. Any difficulty you face in your life, Inna ma'ya rabbi sayahdeen. Yani, the biggest loss even, what is it that we are supposed to say? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We belong to Allah and to Allah is our return. What does that mean? Why are we supposed to say that at a time of loss, at a time of difficulty? But we're saying that we came from Allah. We have to go back to Allah. We weren't meant to be here permanently anyway. We weren't meant to have all of these things permanently anyway. Allah is the one who is permanent. We are not. Allah is the one who is in absolute control. We are not. So by saying inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, we are affirming our faith in Allah. You see, Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was thrown in the fire by his own people, what did he say? Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah is enough for us. The Sahaba, when people were gathering and they were coming to attack the Muslims again, the Sahaba said, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the cave with Abu Bakr, what happened? The enemy was right outside and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was really worried. He began to cry out of worry for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La tahzan, don't be sad. Inna Allaha ma'ana, Allah is with us. We're not alone. This is what it means to believe in Allah without any doubt. That no matter what situation you're in, you remind yourself, Allah is there. I am not alone. My Lord is enough for me. And remember when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was resting under the tree and that man came and grabbed the sword of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, who's going to save you from Allah? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, Allah. The man said, who is going to save you from me? Right? Who is going to protect you? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah will. And this is what it means, that in the most sudden situation even, situations where you expect some kind of loss, some kind of difficulty, and then there are situations where things come just completely unexpectedly. At that time also, to believe in Allah without doubt means to affirm your faith in Allah, to say Allah is there, He will save me, He will guide me, He will take care of the situation for me. And also, a part of believing in Allah without any doubt is to call upon Allah with conviction, to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears du'as, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees what is best. So we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for yaqeen, that Ya Allah, grant us conviction. The third hadith that we're looking at is that the best branch of faith is to say, La ilaha illallah. To say, there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. In this hadith, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam first mentioned that iman has over 70 or 60 branches, but he didn't mention what each branch is, what each aspect of iman is, because we need to use our mind as well. We need to think as well that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us that certain things are part of iman, from iman, then let us pay attention to all of those good deeds. But the Prophet ﷺ mentioned here that فَأَفْضَلُهَا قَوْلُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. To say لا إله إلا الله is the best branch of faith, right? It is the best aspect of faith. Why? Because when you say لا إله إلا الله, you are verbalizing, you are verbally expressing the most truthful statement, the most factual statement, and when you believe, then this is the center of, this is the core of your belief. It is what guides everything. It is the foundation, it is the principle, it is the guide of everything related to Iman. So this shows us that we should say La ilaha illallah as well. Yani, of course we believe in that, but we should also say it, La ilaha illallah. When you're in difficulty, لا إله إلا الله, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught Asma radiallahu anha to say this in time of difficulty, Allahu Allahu Rabbi لا أشرك به شيئا, that Allah Allah my Lord, I do not associate anything with my Lord. And my Lord is one. I believe that He is one. So, which in other words is to say, لا إله إلا الله, there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. So we need to say this kalima as well. And especially in these days, the Prophet ﷺ taught us that we should increase in saying لا إله إلا الله. In a hadith we learn that the best form of dhikr is to say لا إله إلا الله. And we also learn that when a person says لا إله إلا الله with their heart, with sincerity, the gates of the sky are opened. And really, when you face some difficulty, take a moment, connect with yourself, silence all those voices around you, or even those which are in your head, and take a moment to say, La ilaha illallah. There is no God but Allah. There is no God worthy of worship but Allah. Allah is the one who is in absolute control. He created everything. He created me. He created the thing that I fear. He has control over everything, because nothing happens without the permission of Allah. And to Allah, all matters will return. And whatever Allah decrees for the believer is best for the believer. Start reflecting on the statement, La ilaha illallah. Say that honestly with your heart. We learned the gates of the sky are opened. Make dua now. Beg Allah. Ask Him to show you the way. Ask Him to create ease for you. So, La ilaha illallah is a very heavy statement. And remember that on the day of judgment, when deeds will be weighed, a person will be brought and their records will be placed in the scale, and their records will be filled with sins, and those records will be so massive. And a person will think, that's it, I'm doomed. But then on the other side of the scale, a card will be placed. Bitaqa. A card will be placed and the scales will tip. And what is on that card? La ilaha illallah. Yani, this is a statement that will save you in this life. It will save you on the day of judgment. So say it a lot, a lot. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also mentioned in this hadith that modesty, haya, is a part of iman, and also removing things from the road which are a source of difficulty for people, that is also a part of iman. So iman is not that you just sit in your worries and you're just constantly thinking about Allah. Of course, that is part of iman, that you think about Allah in your difficulty. But iman is also action, that you do something to help others. You are a caring person. You're not selfishly just preoccupied with your own worries. You're also thinking about the people around you. And modesty in how you talk, modesty in how you dress, modesty in how you deal with people, modesty with Allah also. This is also part of iman. The fourth hadith we're looking at is about patience and generosity, that they are the best aspect of faith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that afdalul imani as-sabru was-samaha. Patience and generosity are the best, the most superior part of iman. How? You see, sabr, patience, what is it? Sabr is to hold oneself back, right? It is to control oneself. To not allow oneself to give up, to not allow oneself to quit. That when things get tough, you don't just quit. You hold on, right? And when you just want to, you know, express that anger, or you want to just let go, and you know, you just want to respond uncontrollably, sabr is that no, you hold yourself back, you restrain yourself, you make yourself follow certain principles, certain rules that are guided by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated. So sabr is, you know, not just in the heart. Sabr is that you control your tongue, that you control your limbs. You restrain your tongue from complaining. You restrain your limbs from disobeying Allah. And of course, it is needed in times of difficulty, but it is also needed in salah, where, you know, for example, you're praying and you're constantly tempted to fix your you know, shirt, or fix your, some men have a habit of constantly you know, styling their beard, subhanAllah, in salah. Any sabr is to control yourself. You don't need to style your beard right now. You can wait until after salah. It's okay. Nobody's going to take a picture. Nobody's going to say your beard looks imperfect. Just sabr. Sabr is to wait. Okay? Keep your hand where it needs to be. Sabr in salah is that you keep your eyes where they need to be. Sabr is that you keep your attention where it needs to be. So sabr beautifies all of our good deeds. It enables us to perform good deeds in the best way, in the correct way. And sabr is deeply connected with iman. Ali radiallahu anhu, he once said that sabr in relation to iman is like the head is to the body. Yani, can you imagine a body without a head? No, it's not possible. Yani, if the head is gone, the entire, yani, there's no life. So, and then he said out loud that innahu la imana liman la sabra lahu, that the person who does not have patience has no faith. Yani, patience is deeply connected with faith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises those people who are patient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He loves those people who are patient, that He is with those people who are patient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the men who are patient and the women who are patient. Allahu Akbar. And then samaha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that samaha, as-sabru wa samaha, these two things are the best of iman. What is samaha? Samaha, in the rough translation, is generosity. But anyway, when we think about generosity in English, we think that a person is just giving a lot of money. But samaha is more than that. Samaha is to be liberal, to be bountiful. And samaha al-ud is when wood is soft. Okay, it's not dry and hard and brittle. It's not brittle as in sharp and pokey. Samaha al-ud is when wood is smooth, it is soft. And especially, you know, branches that are still on the tree, they're so easy to bend, right? And when this word is used for a camel, then it means that the camel is submissive. It's easy to maneuver, right? And when a person is described as someone who has samaha, it means that they act in an easy, gentle manner. They're easygoing. They're generous. And they give to people what people want from them, right? They're not stubborn. They're not rejecting. They're not harsh. And so sometimes samaha means, you know, forgiving people. Sometimes samaha means smiling. Sometimes samaha means giving money. Sometimes samaha means, you know, making space for people, right? So samaha is in different forms, right? And Hasan al-Basri said that samaha is to be generous when performing the obligations. Yani, for example, when you are performing salah. Okay, one is that you just quickly recite the thana, Surah Al-Fatiha, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, and then go into ruku' and then just do the bare minimum and you're done with. Okay, the other is samaha, that you're generous. Yani, you take your time reciting the thana, one dua, another dua. You recite Surah Al-Fatiha with khushur. You recite, you know, a longer surah. After salah, you make adhkar. You perform the sunnah. So this is samaha. And one is to be small-hearted, okay? That, oh, I'm too tired, I'm too busy, it's going to take too long, it's going to be too tiring, it's going to be too exhausting. And the other is that, no, you're generous. You allow yourself the time to perform ibadah in a beautiful way. This is samaha. And the Prophet ﷺ told us that these two things, patience and samaha, are the best iman. How are they related to iman? Because sabr enables you to do what you're supposed to do in the right way, and samaha enables you to do what you should do in a beautiful way. Sabr makes you right and proper, samaha makes you more beautiful. So sabr and samaha is needed in ibadah, in worship, and sabr and samaha are needed in dealing with people as well. And the Prophet ﷺ described the people of paradise as people who are rahim, a person who is merciful, who is raqiqul qalb, who is very soft in their heart, right? Meaning very gentle. In another hadith we learn hayyin and sahlin, any easy to deal with. The Prophet ﷺ said yasiru wa la tu'asiru, make ease for people, do not create difficulty for people. And people with soft hearts are people who are beloved to Allah. We also learn that, this gentleness, this ease, this generosity should be shown when we are dealing with people, even when we are, buying and selling, or when we are giving a loan or returning a loan, accepting the return of a loan. In everyday matters, we need to show that generosity. But how can a person show that generosity? When they believe in La ilaha illallah. Because then they want to make every action of theirs beautiful. And they remember that my Lord is watching me. If I'm generous over here, Allah will reward me. Allah does not waste the effort of those who forgive, those who are patient, those who are generous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. So as for the person who gives and has taqwa of Allah, and confirms that which is best, meaning has the best, believes in that which is best, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we shall make the easy path easy for him. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will facilitate that person in doing good as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enable that person to do more good. So patience, generosity, these are keys to increasing in good deeds as well. So this is how they are the best aspect of faith. The last hadith we learned, the best of faith is good character. When the Prophet ﷺ was asked, Ayyul imani afdal, which part of iman is the best? He said, khuluqul hasan, that character which is best, which is beautiful. And khuluq is your internal being. Your khalq is your external appearance, right? What people see physically. But your khuluq is your person, your being, your inner self, or your personality that people experience. Okay, in the way that they hear you, in the way that they look at your, the facial expressions that they see, the words that you use. So, everyone does not have good khuluq. Good khuluq, it's something that good character is something that needs to be worked on, right? Some people are naturally, very affectionate. Others are not. Some people, their facial expressions are generally very calm, and other people have to work on that. You have to consciously make sure that you're not frowning, right? That you have to consciously make sure that you're not staring at someone rudely, right? You have to consciously make that effort that your face appears to be calm and you smile, you look approachable. So akhlaq, your character, is something that you have to work on. Your physical being, right? Your physical appearance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given that to you, right? And you're not supposed to be changing it all the time. Of course, you have to maintain it.
you know, hair you have to trim, etc., face you have to clean, etc. But see how obsessed we are with perfecting our physical appearance. We use filters and we use, you know, we spend so much money and effort on our night routine and morning routine and summer, you know, routine and what products we have to use. And okay, it's good that you're taking care of your physical body, but this physical body is going to end up in the grave. What is going to last, what is permanent, is your character. That is going to determine your afterlife, which is eternal. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Istaqim," that be steadfast, and your khuluq should be excellent. Your character with people should be excellent. We also learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves generosity, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves good character. And mean character, base character, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes that. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that the believer reaches with his good character the level of the person who is constantly fasting and constantly praying. Yani it is a very rewardable good deed. We learned that it is one of the heaviest deeds in the scale on the Day of Judgment. Yani it is a deed that is very, very heavy in the scales. And we also learn that the Prophet ﷺ said that the most beloved of you to me and the closest of you to me in majlis, in gathering on the Day of Judgment, will be those who are best of you in character. So the more beautiful a person's character is, the closer they will be to the Prophet ﷺ on the Day of Judgment, and the more beloved they will be to the Prophet ﷺ in the afterlife. And he also said that indeed the most hated of you to me and the farthest of you to me in gathering on the Day of Judgment will be those who talk a lot and those who are, you know, those who exaggerate when they're talking, those who are, you know, basically very vile and rude and harsh in the way that they speak. So we have to be careful about how we speak, how we interact with one another, and we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma ahsanta khalqi fa ahsin khuluqi, that, O Allah, you have made my physical appearance beautiful, make my character beautiful as well. We should ask Allah, Allahumma ihdini li ahsani al-akhlaq, la yahdi li ahsaniha illa anta, wasrif anni sayyi'aha, la yasrif anni sayyi'aha illa anta. That, O Allah, guide me to the best character, because no one can guide me to the best character except you. And turn away bad conduct from me, for no one can turn it away from me except you. We should ask Allah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min munkarati al-akhlaqi wal-a'mali wal-ahwa, that, O Allah, I seek refuge with you from evil character, evil actions, and evil desires. Ya Allah, you protect us. So the best of faith, the best deed is to believe, and the best of faith is to have faith, or rather the best deed is to have faith which is free of any doubt. And the best branch of faith is to say La ilaha illallah. And patience and generosity are the best aspect of faith. And the best of faith is also good character. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who believe, make us of those who believe with conviction, without any doubt. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beautify us with patience, with generosity, and with good character. And may we never hesitate in saying La ilaha illallah. May the words La ilaha illallah be fluent on our tongues, so that we are able to say these words at the time that we leave this world as well. And it becomes heavy in our scales, and it becomes a means of salvation for us on the Day of Judgment. Ameen. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Barakallahu feekum, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.